really excited for this one. We've got Terry Ryan on the phone right now. He's a former pro hockey player, and he is part of the new Crave original Letterkenny spinoff show, Shorzy. I just saw on Twitter the debut of Shorzy is now the number one most watched Canadian series launch on Crave. Yeah, okay, we love it. I've watched some of the series, and I listened to his interview with some of the Bar Down guys. He is a certified beauty, so please welcome into Leafs Lunch, Mr. 50 in 95, Terry Ryan, who plays Hitch in the series. How's it going, Terry?
Yeah, it's going great. Thanks a lot for that intro, and I'm a fan of the show, so it's a little bit surreal. Everything going on lately is surreal, but thank you very much.
Yeah, 8th overall draft pick by the Habs back in 95. Fan of Leafs Lunch, though. Okay, I like the crossover there. How do you go, Terry, from a hockey career to an acting career?
A lot of people give me props for, you know, experimenting and, you know, way to try these things. A lot of the arts, I was always interested. I grew up, I took creative writing pretty seriously. Going to Montreal, it was as important to me to meet Red Fisher as it was Guy Lafleur. I mean that. Rest in peace to both those people. Even though Red didn't talk to rookies, he wouldn't speak to me. It was a letdown. But anyway, I was always, you know, into the writing part and everything. And when I left to go away, I'm giving you a long answer here. I'll try to shorten it. But
no, I like
you
it.
Asked me. So, you know, I'm an only child, and back in the day, you had to leave from Newfoundland if you wanted to get noticed, to some degree. So I had a good tournament in the Quebec Pee Wee tournament, and Tri-City Americans were there. One thing led to another. I went out west and began my hockey journey, but I'm an only child, and, you know, the way we communicated then seems prehistoric, but, I would write letters to my friend. There was no internet. There was no globalization of that. So on top of getting teased at school and everything, it was also a mechanism to deal with anxiety for playing junior as a 14-year-old. So I started to write about all these experiences. And then, you know, in 2009, I went back to university. I had, you know, I always wanted to get a degree, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And I ended up getting a folklore English at Bachelor of Arts, which sounds like it was useless, doesn't it? But I was writing a book. It kind of is. But I was writing the book, and I just one thing led to another. And the folklore helped me, like, kind of at least not perfect, but it helped me. It improved my ability to write a story, and the English helped with the grammar and everything. So, but it was timing. My hockey career timing wasn't great to me, but everything since. So I got out of university, and I couldn't find a job. I mean, what do you do? I got a folklore degree. What am I going to go, like, work in tourism or maybe work at a library? But my good buddy Alan Hawko was on Republic of Doyle. Is Jake Doyle? He played, and he's a good friend of mine. He's a decent hockey player. We would come to a tournament every year in Toronto called Summit of Arts, the Exclaim Cup. It was for, like, the arts community, and Hawk would bring me in as a ringer, but I started to do some background on his shows, and then I got a job with Crew, to be honest. I was locations. I was a PA.
Cool.
I still am. I do that back here. I'm doing it tomorrow on Hudson and Rex. But over the years, I talked. There was a guy, James Binkley. He was doing stunts, and I talked him into a few stunts on Republic of Doyle. I said, Binks, I fought Domi at center ice 3 times. I mean, come on, you know, like, get me to a stunt. And I quickly learned it wasn't about balls so much as it was about timing. But I did get a few in, and then luckily for me, that same group, Take the Shot Productions, a couple years later, again, I'm working on Crew, and Frontier came here. And they liked the very first scene in Frontier called for a British soldier to be beaten up with and it helped that I had no tooth.
Nice.
To be honest with you. So, and Jason Momoa was doing it, and when he came over, I started, you know, he wanted to learn how to play ice hockey. So I'm the guy on the Crew that played pro, so I helped him, and then he put me in a few more things as stunts. I got some credits. Now I'm in the acting union, right? I at first opportunity, I jumped at that because I'm not an actor. I knew that. I got really lucky. I've been working in Crew. I come up to Toronto all the time. I get a permit to work in Crew, you know, and I get up in the morning, wherever it might be, go to Scarborough. We're doing Star Trek. You know, I take orders for the most part, and all of a sudden, I'm on the other side of the camera. I just can't believe it. So one thing led to another around here, you know, because of Take the Shot Productions and Republic of Doyle and Frontier and now Hudson and Rex, we had Little Dog, we had Cod, all these things started happening. And so really it was one-off. With Little Dog, I played a boxer who got beat up because they had no tooth. A lot of these roles required like 1 or 2 days for somebody to come in, and it helps if we got no tooth, whether it was a gangster or a soldier or whatever. And then Letterkenny phoned in 2000 and 19, I guess, and I'm a fan of the show, and I'd never thought to, like, go outside the province to be an actor. You know, I'd also seen a lot of actors that are far better than me, less successful, and I almost felt like an imposter syndrome. But anyway, I went up and did it, and it was great. It called for a Newfoundlander, so I did it to the best of my ability, and Jared Kiso kept in touch. Now, I got the call last June, do you want to be in this show? I mean, honestly, I didn't think it was real. For like 2 days, I didn't think it was real until they emailed me, and I quickly realized that he wanted me to play Hitch, and, you know, right place, right time. I can't say that enough.
Well, what was the, like, audition process like? Was there an audition? Did you have to, like, try out? Like, what was that entire process like? For sure.
Well, looking back, and I haven't really asked this question, but I know a few things from the stories that I'm connecting. So some of the people with casting for Letterkenny were in on the casting of Frontier. And if anything, I tell stories. So everybody there knew, you know, everybody on Frontier knew exactly everything I'm telling you times 10. I'm wound up if you can't tell. So anyway, so they knew that. And so they knew that, you know, there's a player out there from Newfoundland with no tooth that looks like a hockey player, that is a hockey player. And Jared Kiso, I know, is a fan of a lot of podcasts, including one, Spittin' Chiclets. I was on there like right before I did it. So now I know I'm in. And Tom Power, who's got you know, a hit show and a great interviewer in CBC. Tom, I was working with his brother, Brian, doing set dressing at the time on a show called Maudie, I believe, with Ethan Hawke. But, I mean, I was crew for that. But anyway, so see, all these worlds kind of came together. Tom interviewed Jarrett, called me and said, man, like, they're doing this thing, hockey season in Letterkenny. So I don't know what came first, but that, when I finally got the call, I think it was like a combination of three different areas that all came together, the perfect storm of opportunity. And they did. They asked me to do an audition, but looking back, I think it was mine to lose. And the audition, I literally was doing a hockey school with my buddy Zach O'Brien, who plays on the Newfoundland Growlers now, led the Q in scoring 1 year, great hockey player. And that particular year, I believe he won the Calder Cup with Chicago, maybe. But anyway, you know, he was heavily involved, and we were out there, you know, between slots of coaching kids. And I said, gee, Zach, you know, they want me to do this. Do you mind throwing on the camera? And I just did one in front of the boards, sent it through. And again, even with the Letterkenny, I thought this might be a joke, but they got back to me and they wanted me. And so a lot has gone into it, and I know I'm kind of rambling, but it was just such a long process and such, like, I don't want to keep overusing the word lucky, but there's a heavy amount of luck involved. And given, you know, I mean, looking back in my 20s, I handled my hockey career the wrong way, and I had every opportunity given to me, and I blew it. I don't mind saying that. It wasn't in a lot of the ways that are reported, but I just made some stupid mistakes that were stubborn and they were short-sighted. And so to get this opportunity to as a hockey player to be, I mean, I know I'm not playing hockey and this isn't the NHL, but I've always been a big fan. I never thought I'd be an actor, but I'm not surprised I fell into that world. And to do this now just feels like, you know, I got to pinch myself every morning.
Yeah, that's awesome. Listen, nobody with success didn't get a little bit lucky at some point. So everybody needs a little luck to get there. And I mentioned Shorzy, now the number one most watched. The debut was the number one most watched Canadian series to ever launch on Crave. So obviously a huge success. You mentioned, Terry, that you're a great storyteller. And I heard you tell a story to the Bar Down guys that I have to get you to tell here right now, because it is the best thing ever. Hot sauce in the gloves. Where did you get that idea? And can you just break it down for us here at Leafs Lunch?
Yeah, well, survival of the fittest. And you got to take you back. I mean, I'm 45. I don't feel old. I don't think, you know, I guess that depends on your perspective. But this seems like 100 years ago to me, culturally, what's ended up happening in hockey and everything. I'm not complaining. I just mean, I was 14 years old. Okay, I never threw a hit in my life.
Yeah.
I'm from Newfoundland. Like, we had an inferiority complex. I played the Nationals growing up. I was lucky enough to be on the Newfoundland team in ball hockey, baseball, soccer, and ice hockey. And in every single sport, we would go to the Nationals and we would play the host the first game. So they'd win 10-1. Everybody gets a free hot dog in Newfoundland. Those guys try hard, you know. So I was used to that, but we went to the Quebec Pee Wee tournament, and I realized then that you know, now all of a sudden we get deep games against teams all over, and I put on a bit of a clinic. I was bigger than everybody. O-Dog, actually, the year before, if you ever, Mike, if you ever talked to O-Dog, ask him about the Quebec Pee Wee Tournament. My first year that I went, he was God. Like, I went up and got his autograph. He played for Richmond Hill. They had L.A. jerseys. Like, I remember that. But, well, the next year I went, I was that guy. And Tri-Cities came down anyway. They got me. I didn't realize this, but they asked me to go away and play in Quesnel, because the draft in the Western League is when you're 14 years old. The reason for Quesnel is that it was up north. I didn't know I'd be playing junior. I had no idea. I just knew that I would go out there and maybe play Bantam or maybe Midget AAA. I didn't really think about it. I was going where Tri-City said, because they said they were going to draft me, and then I would play Major Junior. And so, and my dad played pro hockey, so that really helped, that he knew the game a little bit, because I didn't, you know, other than games, we didn't have a team. There wasn't even that many Atlantic teams, if any, in the Quebec League at the time. So it was all foreign to me, other than watching the Eric Lindros, because I couldn't believe what I was watching. They showed Oshawa Generals games a lot at the time. Other than that, I didn't know much about Major Junior. So I went out there, and now I'm in Quesnel, so it's a small town up north. There are lots of great hockey players, but it's not like I'm in Vancouver trying out for the best team in Vancouver. So I went up, and the Bantam, you know, I was a bit, I figured at the very least after the first practice with the Bantams, I'd be playing midget. So I went, and I just, you know, I went to the camp, the junior team, and Tri-City, I guess this was kind of in their plans all along. And I'm going, what? Again, first year Bantam, 14 years old, grade 9, threw a hit. There's no hits over here in Pee Wee at the time. And again, no internet to look at and absorb the cultures of everywhere else and what goes on. And I don't know, man. So I go out, and it's bad enough because I'm taught, if you think this sounds like an accent, Hitch on Shorzy there, that's, people go, where did that come from? Well, I mean, I used to speak like that. So, you know, I went out and I had zits all over my face. I mean, Tales of a First Round Nothing is the book, but I mean it. Like, I was, my favorite book was Judy Blume, is where that title came from, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. And I seemed like that. Like, I was just, nothing was clicking socially. I was going to school, people were laughing, but I was a novelty. He's been playing junior tonight, guys. Like, you know, it was like right. Some 80s, you know, easy framed movie. So I go to the rink, the first game, I come out, but I do know I've gone through camp, and I'm doing all right. So on the ice, I'm like, I'm navigating around, hitting more than anything. But when I'm getting open, I'm getting goals. So I'm like, okay, I can probably do this. So they asked me to play the first exhibition game I do. I go out, I'm a centerman at the time, and go out to take the face off. And dude on the other team says, he looks at me and says, oh, you're from out east. Yeah. And he, almost like he's giving me compliments. And then it's good luck or whatever. And as soon as the puck drops, I get cross-checked in the head. It wasn't the guy I ended up fighting, but he did that. And I come back, and it's a total brawl, man. I don't know. Blood's running down. So I just grab like you would, and I'm throwing. And I'm now in Quesnel, I mean, they love their hockey, but there's a lot of people there. I say sold out. It was close to because of me, but I don't realize that. You know, there's this 14-year-old. Come on, he's going to play. And now they're seeing this brawl. People
and
are
this
going
is your
crazy.
First fight ever?
My first fight. I've never thrown a hit yet.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what it's like to body check other than camp. And there was one tournament, yeah, in the summer, a Bantam tournament I put. But other than that, guys are like, you know, I'm walking into the rink. I can smell dope. I'm you know, not from the team, but, you know, it's just that kind of town. You know, people right. are getting buzzed at the game. People are rattling their beer. Like, you know, it's a totally different culture. People got beards, you know, but guys are going bald. Like, you know, I'm going, what? You know, and so anyway, I deal with this. I'm kind of like the Rush. We all get kicked out, because even then up there in that league, you get kicked out after a fight. So we're in the room, and, you know, I felt, you know, so many different emotions at once, you know, because I was so nervous. You got to realize I wanted to leave. I wanted to come back to Mount Pearl, Newfoundland, playing for O'Donnell and get 6 goals a game and go through, you know, what every yeah. high schooler goes through. Like, I wanted that, but... So, you know, but all of a sudden, I kind of felt like I fit in. And I remember looking in the mirror, and I'm like, what are you going to do? Because I was scared. I didn't like that. Like, and I'm like, that was bad enough. Now I got to go and get hit by these guys all game, every game. So, you know, I've only had to do it a few times in my life. But I looked in the mirror, and I gave myself a gut check. And I said, like, you know, this is it. If you want to be a hockey player, then you're going to have to go, and you're going to have to go out there and deal with it. And I also wanted to fit in with the people at school. And I knew that if I even stood up to this guy again without getting jumped, that I would, or one of them anyway, they didn't know my personal gripe. But if I went out there and put on a show and showed that I wanted to belong. So unbeknownst to the other guys, we went out for breakfast that morning. And there was some hot sauce on the table, and I grabbed it, and I took it with me. And I'm trying to think of things, and there was a guy, you could be 21 then, so again, I was 7 years younger than some guys. There was a guy, Jason Helzel, who had played the year before. He told me a story about chipping up the side of his helmet with a file. And he's like, you know, because every time that the guy punches you, if you know you're going to lose one, he's like, you know, you might as well rip up his knuckles. And I thought that was great. And then, but no one told me about the hot sauce. So I'm like, my plan was go, and I know I'm going to take a beating at first, and then I'm going to get him with the hot sauce. So no one on my team had any idea this was going to happen.
Genius.
So before I went out on the ice, it was before the second, too, because I didn't want to make it obvious. I knew guys were going to go at him in the third period. I knew that. Real tight team. It ended up really being great for my development, if you can believe it. Such great leaders. But anyway, that's what I did. So I emptied out the sauce in the sink, and I bathed my hands in it. And I just planned on, you know, and I mean, sometimes you get knocked down first, but the fight went the way I wanted it to. And I went up in front. I made some snark. He said he didn't want to fight me. I said, well, are you kidding me? Like, I came all this way, you know? And so I embarrassed him with words in front of his bench, and he dropped his gloves. And I got in tight on him, and he's bigger than me. And that was it. I just knew that if I do that, and, you know, he was wailing away on my head, but I started to see red on my visor. I knew it was working. And from the blood, right? And then I, you know, one thing led to another, and I just did what I could to rub it all over his face and in his eyes. I mean, it wasn't as easy as just, oh, here's your, but I just rubbed it, my hands all over his face, just constantly, and the refs didn't break it up. And then, you know, he was done then, and I just sat back, teed off on him, and I know it's Leafs, the umps, but yada, 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 I lost my virginity after the game. And I fit in Quinnell. And I ended up never wanting to go home again, which leads us to this moment.
Our shows are off the rails a couple days. Between the Florida Panthers being at the strip club and this, like, our Leafs lunch has gone off the rails, but yeah. I like it. It's all good.
Well, PG-13, it's all good. Terry, that was an unbelievable story. Man, I'm sure there's plenty, plenty more great stories. We might have to get you back on at some point to share a couple more. There was the one about how you knocked your own teeth out with a sledgehammer, but unfortunately, seems like we're running out of time, but we'll have to get you back on to dive a little bit more into that in the next little bit. But I appreciate you taking the time to join us, and hey, hopefully, you know, all the best in your career going forward.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Like I said, I'm a fan. I listen to all three shows quite frequently. And I will say this, and I'm going to call you Al's brother. You got me personally into football.
Wow.
I never quite was. My podcast called Tales with TR started to pick up some steam. And I said, you know what? I should be well-rounded and I should know all the sports. I knew the stars, but I didn't know much about it. And in 2019 or 20 to 2 or 3 years ago, Al's brother would come on with some takes, and they were so passionate that I would now. They're not always correct, though.
You know to fade the picks.
I love your passion.
I appreciate it. Hey, man, that's it, right? You say it with conviction. It's good enough. It's good enough. That's
definitely
what people want. They want the conviction. Terry, really appreciate taking the time to join us today. Take care, pal.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys. Good luck, and hope to see you again.